has everything over there?
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. My mother-in-law needs refuah, as I mentioned last time. So, Dvorach Ana Basratza. So, for Parshas Lech Lecha, we want to take a look at this essay of Rav Pinchas Friedman and try to understand this whole business that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu out, Tzeachutza, and he lifts him above the mazel. Vayotzi oso achutza, tzei meitztagninu shelcha, which seems to imply that the itztagninus, the zodiac and the formation of stars in different months and so forth and so on has an impact, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to take Avraham Avinu outside and above his mazel. So that's something that we want to try to get a little bit of a deeper understanding of what that's all about. And as we go through this, we're going to try to answer a few questions about various minhagim. Why do we daven towards the east? Why is it a minhag that we give tzedakah before we daven? These are some of the issues that we want to address. And if we have some spare time at the end, I wanted to add a halachic piece for Parshas Lech Lecha in addition to this hashkafic piece. So let's go step by step. In Parshas Lech Lecha we have the Bris Bein HaBesarim. And in this great, very lofty presentation of the Torah, the Bris, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu kores with Avraham Avinu and with all his Zera Achra for all the generations, a new type of Hanhaga. There's Teva, there's nature, and that's called Mazel, that's controlled by the Zodiac, by the Kochavim, and that's relevant to all the nations of the world. But with regard to one specific nation that's chosen, and that's the nation of Avram and his descendants, here we break out of the system of the Mazolos. So here's a very great fundamental contrast between the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, and Klal Yisrael. The Umos HaOlam cannot pierce through all the barriers. He calls it the Mechitza Shel Barzel, that separate them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world. Because they live in a world that's controlled by the Mazolos, under the Mazolos. They can't climb above the Mazolos. But Klal Yisrael are above the Mazolos. They're above all the stars. They are kshurim udvukim im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'atzmo. They're connected directly to Hashem. And that makes them a very unique nation. And all this is solidified in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, that there's no intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. That relationship is a direct relationship without any barriers and any separation. So let's read the psukim in Parashas Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem, Hein Li, I'm sorry, start again. Vayomer Avram, Hein Li Lo Nasato Zora, etc., etc. V'hinei Dvar Hashem Elov Lemar. Here's the divine response. He says, Vayotzi Oso Achutza, Vayomer Abet Nom Hashamayma, go outside, count the stars if you can, and koyeh zarach. So Rashi says, Vayotzi oso achutza, lufi pshuto. The simple pshat in the words Vayotzi oso achutza is that God takes Avram outside the oel, so that now he can take a look and gaze at the stars. But Rashi, in a very atypical way, quotes the Medrash. Rashi feels that in this case it's critical to offer another interpretation based on the Medrash. Because what is the koyeh zaracha here? Is it just physical? Is it material? Or is it something more spiritual, more eternal? All the messages of the Torah that are inherent in the story of Avram have to have some sort of infinite and supernatural kind of meaning that would impact on the relationship between God and the people for all generations. Therefore, Rashi says, "Vayotzi oso achutza lefi midrasho." According to the Medrash, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, "Tzei mitztagninus shelcha, she'ra'isa b'mazol she'eincha osid lahamid ben." Avram Avinu understands from the Mazolos that it's impossible for him to father a son, and therefore, he comes to Hashem and he says, "Hein li lo nasach zorach. Eliezer is going to inherit me. I won't have any children." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, "Avram without the hay ain lo ben, aval Avraham yesh lo ben. Sarai lo teled, aval Sarah teled." As long as Avram is within the realm of the Mazalos, controlled as the nations of the world are by the Mazalos, then his mazal, Avram's mazal, is such that he cannot have children. The same for Sarah. However, here comes the Shinui Shem. We have to understand why the Shinui Hashem is so significant, and especially the letter He. But what it means is that Hashem takes Avram Avinu outside the realm of the Mazalos. And Rashi adds another possibility that Hotzio Mechalolo Shal Olam V'gbil Amala Min HaKochavim. This is also another form or another formulation or expression of the idea that Avraham Avinu is above the Kochavim and the Mazals. He's not in any way controlled by the Kochavim and the Mazals, because Hashem takes Avram and his descendants outside of the realm and the control and dominion of the Mazalos. And that's what the Medrash says, "Ata, you Avraham, when you'll have the hay lokem, you're not controlled by the astrological stars of nature." Yes, Avram, without the hay, up until this point that Hashem changes the Hanhaga, Avram is controlled by nature and he has no possibility of having children. But now, Vayotzeo Soachutza, now Hashem takes him out of the realm of the Kochav Mazolis. He's no longer controlled by their dominion and therefore he can have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, "Arei ato lemala min hamazal. Mi gadol mimi lo ata." Who's greater, the nature that controls man or you, Avram Avinu? Ata lemala mimeni, you're above nature. Ka'odom shemabit milamala lemata, you now are above the Oretz, up in Shamayim, looking down as it were from Shamayim. And therefore, ko'yez zaracha and vayamin vehemin b'shem, Avram Avinu believes that he's going to be the father of a nation, a great nation. So we learn from this something very fundamental, that even though the Hanhaga, the control of Mazalos, is so powerful, and based on the Hanhaga, the Mazalos, Avram and his Mazal would not have the feasibility, the possibility of fathering a child, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts him up above all the Kochav and the Mazalos, so that now he can father Yitzchak Avinu. He can have an entire chain, Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the Shvatim and the entire Klal Yisrael and their special sanctity, which is above the Kochavim Umazolos. But here we have something fascinating, and we have to try to see if we can put it in perspective. And this is based on both the Vilna Gaon and Rabbi Yonos and Eibeshitz. They both more or less, in different ways and formulations, come to the same conclusion. Under the Mazalos, as long as Avram is controlled by the Mazalos, his situation is very grave. There's no possibility of his having children. And the Vilna Gaon formulates it thusly. If you have the text, you'll see this on the top left of the last column of the third left column, the final column on page 1. This is a direct quote from the Vilna Gaon's commentary on Megillas Esther, on the pasuk Hipil Pur Hu Agoro Lefnei Haman. And the Gaon derives from this pasuk an unbelievable conclusion. And take a look on the second line. He says, I would underline, "Kol hamazolos heim negdim li Yisrael." Wow, this is unbelievable. We always think of Klal Yisrael as the greatest, but in a certain sense, we're the lowest. We are the most in control of the mazolos, because the mazolos for all the nations can go this way, can go that way, for the good or for the bad. But in the case of Klal Yisrael, mazolos always works by definition against Klal Yisrael. That's the Vilna Gaon's Chiddush. And therefore, pi hamazolos, Avram Avinu is going to basically be cut off. his lineage dies with him, so to speak. He brings it down to the kever. And this is what Avraham Avinu sees in the Tzagninus, in the astrological foretelling the future. Eino roi laholi lo ben. Why? Because the Mazal is hem negdiyim liYisrael. They're against Klal Yisrael. And this indicates the paradox of Klal Yisrael. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael are very often compared to the Ofar. The Ofar is like the lowest of the low. On the other hand, they're very often compared to the Kochavim, to the stars. And the Gemara says in Masechet Megillah, Kishem Yardin, when Klal Yisrael are in a low estate, Yardin Adli Ofar, they go all the way to the bottom. Kishem Olim, Olim Adli Kochavim, all the way to the top. Vahainu, why is this so? Says the Vilna Gaon, Nesha Einlem Mazel Klal, meaning the Mazel is against them. And therefore, when they are within the context, the control, the dominion of the Mazel, they go all the way down because the Mazel is negdiyim liYisrael. Once they break out of the Mazel, once they go above the influence of the Mazelos, if they are tzaddikim, then they are in control of the Mazelos. Then Mazel can have no impact, no control over them. And then Avraham Avinu could father a child and a nation that will be above the influence of the Mazelos. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when he took Avraham Avinu outside, as the Pasuk says, Vayotze Oso Achutza, is that he raised him above the Mazelos and changed the entire Metzius of the Hanhog of Klal Yisrael for all eternity. The Hanhog of Klal Yisrael up until that point is the Hanhog of Mazelos, which is Neged Yisrael. And there's no possibility for Klal Yisrael to exist. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by changing the Hanhoga is Koyeh Zaracha. If you're above the Mazelos, then you will produce a wonderful, generate a wonderful nation. But the kiyum of Klal Yisrael depends upon this one fundamental condition being fulfilled, that they will, as Avram did, create this derech, this way of serving Hashem. And if we follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, then we raise ourselves above the Kochavim Umazolos. So we now see the two Mishalom. On the one hand, the nation of Israel is compared to the Ofar, the lowest of the low, within the control of Mazel. But on the other hand, when they rise up above, because they're dedicated to Hashem and the Tzaddikim, then they are compared to the Kochavim, they're above all the controls of the Malachim. Now, if the Gaon uses a term, Hamazolos Heim Negdiyim Yisrael, Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz adds an even stronger phrase, which you'll see here on the top of page 2, and he writes in his Yaros, his magnum opus, the Yaros Dvash, he writes, Hamazol Sonei LiYisrael. Wow, that's pretty heavy. That the Mazel hates Klal Yisrael. And that's why he says that as far as the Mazel is concerned, Avram and Sarah are not Roy Laholid. They will be an Akar and Akara. What do you say, Joe? I didn't hear.
Sorry, who said that again?
This is Rav Yonasan Ivershitz. He lived about 400 years ago, and he authored a book called the Yaros Dvash. A very interesting historical period. Him and the Yavitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, anyway, they were at each other's... But be that as it may, the language of the Yaros Dvash is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Li Avram Tzei Mitztagmina Shalcha Lefi Mishpat Mahalche Gzeres HaKachovim. According to the law and the rules that govern all of mankind, which are the Gzeres HaKachovim, Ein L'Toldos Kedoshim Alolu Kiyum Ba'olam, the offspring of these holy people have no kiyum, no possibility of existing. Why? Because the Mazel is Sonei LiYisrael. But after HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Klal Yisrael out of the control of Malachim, of the Kochavim, then they become absolutely great. And then they have a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any barriers, any intermediaries. So now we want to ask the following question. Why is it, both according to the Gaon that the matzal is negli Yisrael, and certainly according to Rabbi Yonasan Ivishitz, the matzal is sonli Yisrael. Why is that so? Machetam u mapisham. Why should all the nations of the world exist with the mazolos in a kind of a happy, comfortable coexistence, but when it comes to Klal Yisrael and the mazolos, there's no room for any coexistence? What's the sin and what's the pesh of Klal Yisrael that the mazel should be so antithetical to Klal Yisrael? Why is it that Avraham Avinu cannot possibly bear children before HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes him above and breaks out of the control of the mazolos? So to try to get a grasp on this, we're going to take a look on the bottom right of the first column, page 2 of the Bnei Yisachar. And he says, the Kasher Yisrael Dvukim Biosio Satorahim Lamalam in Amazolos, Shebahem Barak Oshbarchu Es Amazolos. It means that God created the universe, including the Mazolos, with the Osio Satorah. The Torah becomes the powerful agent for the creation of the Torah. And that's why the Midrash describes the Torah as Kli Umnaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into the Torah and uses its osios Ubore Es HaOlam. And therefore, as long as Klal Yisrael Advukim, they're connected to the Torah and its letters, they are above the mazolos, because God uses the Torah to create the mazolos. So it's a cause and effect relationship. Now, Klal Yisrael Advuk Biosios HaTorah, they cause the mazolos, they generate the mazolos. Of course, they're above the mazolos. And the Bnei Yisachar goes one step further. He says that Klal Yisrael have a capacity, Bekocham, L'shanos Es HaMazolos. They can even change the mazolos, because again, the Creator can change the mazolos. And he embellishes this, embellishes this with an insight of Reb Dov Mimezrich. He's the Talmud of the Baal Shem on the Pasuk Zos Olas Chodesh Bechodsha. Now take a look at the word Zos. It's made up of two parts, the Zion and the Aleph Tov. The Zion, which represents the 7 days of Breishis, represents the Hanhogas HaOlam B'derech HaTeva. That's nature. But there's anhoga that's lamala min ha-teva. And that can be produced, this change in teva, through Esek HaTorah. Esek HaTorah is alluded to with the two letters Aleph Tov that take you from the beginning of the letters of the Torah to the end of the letters of the Torah, from Aleph all the way to Tov. And when you integrate these two hanhogos, starting with Hanhogas HaTeva Zion, and moving on to Esek HaTorah, which is Aleph Tov, then you produce an amazing ability to change Teva. The Remez, now we're in the middle column on top, in this Pasuk Zos Olas Chodesh Bechodsho, is that in addition to the Zion, which represents the months of the year and the days of the month, the Teva, there's a possibility of creating something called Aleph Tov, Lamala Min HaTeva. So for example, when a person dies and comes up to the heavenly courts, they ask him the question up in the heavenly courts, Kavata Itim LaTorah. In other words, Itim means, as opposed to Chadoshim, which are regular months that work with Teva, Itim are new kind of months that are above Teva, that are able to change Teva. That's the power of study of Torah. Because when you study Torah, you become Dovik in the Osios of the Torah, you become the Aleph Tov, and that could change the Zion of the Mazolos and the Teva. And therefore, we begin to understand the use of the word Ksil by David HaMelech in Tehillim, Ish Bar Lo Yeda, in Tzadi Beis, Uksil lo yavin es zos. What is the ksil? Who is the ksil? He may understand the Zion. He may understand that the world operates through nature. It's organized through the 7 days of creation. But what he doesn't understand is the entire word zos, meaning the Zion together co-joined as it were with the Aleph Tav, the Hanhag of Lamala Min HaTeva, that he cannot comprehend. Why? Because he's not dedicated to the study of Torah. And therefore, Ksil Lo Yavin Es Zos, he doesn't understand the Hanhag of Aleph Tav that's added to the Zion in the context of Esek HaTorah. And now we begin to understand the hay that's added to the name Avram and why that changes everything. The hay, according to the Zohar, represents the five chumashim, the five books of the Torah. So the hay represents the Torah. And Avram Avinu, as long as he is controlled by Teva, it's because he's absent in Avram's essence is the hay of Torah. And the Zohar has a long presentation here, which you'll see the entire left column here. And basically what the Zohar presents, again, just in a nutshell to highlight it, is that with regard to all of God's creations, then before the Torah was given to Yisrael, everything and everyone depends upon the mazalos, children, life, food, sustenance, possessions, everything depends upon the mazalos. But after the Torah was given, then Klal Yisrael received the Torah and they were removed from the power and the impact of the Kochav Mazalos. And the Zohar says this is what we learn from Avram Avinu, that since the children of Avram, the descendants of Avram, will in the future receive and accept the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, therefore Avram Avinu, insofar as hay is added to the name of Avram, now he becomes above the Kochavim Unamazolos. That's all because of the hay, which represents Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And therefore, anyone who's Osek Batorah, who's dedicated to the study of Torah, he no longer is bound by the Hanhaga of Kochavim Umazolos. The hay represents the Zos that brings the Zion up to the level of Aleph Tav. And a summary of this entire piece, you'll see on the bottom left, the last paragraph on page 2. Nimtzeinu lemeidim idivrei HaZohar HaKadosh. This is an overview of what we learned here. Ki ha'os hei, sheba nivra olam, hei which represents the Torah, hei which is a symbolic allusion to the Torah, hei is the hei with which God creates the world, because hay represents the five chumashim, and that's how the Ribbono Shel Olam fulfills what it says: "Istakel Boraisu Bar Alma." He looks into the Osios HaTorah and he creates the world, and therefore, once Avram Avinu is going to fulfill the entire Torah, which has five chumashim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds the five, the letter hay to his name. And it gives him the koach of the Zchus HaTorah, that with Torah you create the world. So you're above the world. You're above the Kochav Mazalos. You're not controlled by them, because the Os Hei is the Os with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And now we can move on to page 3. Now take a look, if you can, fast forward to the second paragraph. In this paragraph, we're trying to understand why Avraham Avinu has the ability to have a child only after the letter Hey is added and his name changed from Avram to Avraham. Kolzmani says in the second paragraph, Shenikra Avram Belios Hey, without the Hey, it means the absence of dedication to study the Hey Chumashi Torah. And there, at that point, Avram is controlled by Teva, by Mazel, and we said that Mazel Sonei Li Yisrael, and therefore he can't have children. But once he's called Avraham, with the additional hey, which tells us that he, Avraham Avinu, is dedicated to fulfill all five books of the Torah, then he becomes Dovik with the Osios HaTorah. And again, as we said before, the Osios HaTorah were the tool, the medium through which God created the world, and God created the Mazal. So now, he, Avraham Avinu, becomes above the Mazalos. He's the controller, the generator of the Mazalos, and now he can have children. Whereas before he couldn't have children, because before he was under the control of Mazalos, and as the Gaon says, Kol Mazalos Hem Negdiyim Li Yisrael, or Rabbi Yonasan Ivish, Samazal Sonei Li Yisrael, the Kochav Mazalos, really want and desire that Klal Yisrael, through Dveikus V'Yosias HaTorah, should rise above them. Why? So if you take a look in the paragraph Hine, on line, let's say, 6, he writes, Kidei Sheyashpiu Lahem Chiyus Shel Kedusha Me'Osias HaTorah Shebehem Nivro. There's a tremendous desire. You know, the Kochavim Azolus are really hoping, if the operation will be successful, that Klal Yisrael should be Dovek B'Torah and should rise above the Kochavim Azolus. Why? Why would the Kochavim Azolus have a vested interest in Avraham Avinu rising above them? And the answer is, because once Avraham Avinu rises above the Mazolos, it means that he is Dovek B'Torah, and now he can be Mashpia, meaning he can generate from himself, Avraham Avinu, what's called a Chiyus Shel Kedusha. A Chiyus Shel Kedusha means a spiritual force of life, or power of life. An Ilan Vital in the spiritual sense. Therefore, when Klal Yisrael fall under Chas V'Shalom the Anhag of Kochav Mazolos, then the Mazolos hate them, because the hope and the desire and the vision, the dream of the Kochav Mazolos was undermined, was completely destroyed by Klal Yisrael when they fall and they're not dedicated to the Torah. And now the Mazolos have Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael in their clutches. The people of Israel are now caught under the control and dominion of the Mazolos, and the only way that Klal Yisrael can get out of the clutches of the Mazolos that are a negative force against Klal Yisrael is by rededicating themselves to the study of Torah. So once again, they could go above the Hanhagas HaKochav Mazolos and be Mashpia, some sort of a Chiyus Shel Kiddush, as we said before. The key phrase here, again, this is a very deep Kabbalistic phrase, is Chiyus Shel Kiddusha Me'Osios HaTorah. And that Hashpa, that Shefa of Chiyus Shel Kiddusha will come from the upper worlds down to the lower worlds, down to the worlds of the Kochav Mazolos, through the agency of the Osios HaTorah, when Klal Yisrael are Dovek in the Osios HaTorah, and when Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, are not dedicated to the Torah, then Klal Yisrael are caught in the clutches of the Mazolos, that is, Rabbi Yonatan Aibish says, HaMazol Sonei Li Yisrael. Now let's get back to our original question about why we turn in our davening towards the east, and why we give tzedakah before davening. And he says the following. Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uplifts Avraham Avinu above the Mazolos, so that there will never be, at this point, any sort of influence of the Mazolos on Klal Yisrael, because they're above the Mazolos. However, we have a Gemara in Shabbos which seems to indicate, it's the last piece in the Gemara in Shabbos, which seems to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to nullify, he has to neutralize, so to speak, the influence of the Mazel for every single Jew. In other words, it's not exactly the way we presented it, that Avraham Avinu is taken above the Mazolos, and now Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avraham Avinu throughout the generations, will be completely outside of the influence of the Mazolos. That's not exactly true. The Gemara in Shabbos says that we have to use each and every one of us a certain force, a certain power, in order to free ourselves, to cut ourselves off from the Kochav Mazolos. And what is that powerful force that allows us to cut ourselves off from the influence of the Mazolos? That's going to be the Koach HaTfilah. So what it means when we say Ein Mazel B'Yisrael, What it means is that, yeah, we are under the influence of the mazel, but we have the ability to rise up above the influence of the mazolos. And how do we do so? Through tefillah. Now, the Gemara emphasizes not only tefillah, but tzedakah as well. And the Gemara says the following, that tzedek is in the Mizrach. Rashi says the following in Masechta, at the end of Masechta Shabbos. My daitcha dekoy tzedek shehi hamazel shalcha b'mayrov shu makom mitzunan ein aroy laholid. Hashem turns to Avraham Avinu, he says, you are looking towards the west and you think that in the west you will find tzedek. No. Madrina umukminale b'mizrach. Take a look at the east. Shu makom chom. And the Gemara brings a raya to establish the principle of mi heir mi mizrach tzedek yukredu raglo, which is a pasuk in Yeshayahu Hanavi. And Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the mazel tzedek and summons the mazel in front of the heavenly courts and mandates that the mazel stand in the mizrach. And all this is going to be the zchus of Avram. So now the mazel moves from the west over to the east. And why is this significant? Says the Marsha, what does it mean when the Pasuk Yeshayahu identifies the tzedek, the mazel of tzedek, as mi mizrach, as being on the east? And the answer is, if a person is connected to the mazel of tzedek, then he's tzodek b'mitzvos, and he gives tzedakah l'aniyim. And that's all the midah of chesed, which is connected with the east. So there's a connection now with tzedek, with chesed, with mizrach. For example, Avraham Avinu's midas haChesed, he's out there accepting guests, and he's going to do tzedakah. That's because the mazel of Avraham Avinu was summoned by the heavenly courts to move and alter its position from the west over to the east. And that's the pasuk mi heir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'eu l'raglo. And here he quotes the Maral on Masechta Shabbos in his Chidushi Agolus on the top left, and he says that mitchila, originally the mazel of Avraham Avinu, the mazel of tzedek, was in the Myra, was in the west. The lohay yachal laholit. Avraham Avinu was incapable of having children. At sheshina hakadosh baruch hu's makomo mimarav lemizrach kedei sheyuchal laholit. Abir bazeh. What's the significance of this transition, this change from west over to east? Ki mirav hu makom shacham shokasham. The west is identified with sunset. And Avram declares that since he sees his mazel as Marav, that indicates sunset. Sunset means he's going to die, he's going to leave this world without any children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he, meaning God, will move his mazel, relocate it from the west over to the east. That's where the sun rises. And the Zrichas HaShemesh represents symbolically the Leda of Yitzchak, who is going to be the progenitor, the father of all of Klal Yisrael. So again, it doesn't mean that the mazel of Avraham Avinu changed, the mazel always remained tzedek, but as long as the mazel was stuck, so to speak, in the west, there was no possibility that Avraham could have a child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now reveals to Avraham Avinu that he's going to shift the location of the mazel tzedek, which was in the west, place it into the east, so that Avraham Avinu will be able to have children. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu feel it necessary to change the position of the mazel of Avraham from west to east? Why couldn't Hashem just change the nature of the mazel itself? Do you understand the question he's asking now? Well, why change the location of the mazel? You want to allow, facilitate Avram to have children? Just change the mazel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just could have directly changed the mazel. So this is a very difficult question to ask, to answer, but he says, Rav Friedman, that we have a principle formulated in Mishlei Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko. And what this means is that a person has to be mechanic a child to serve Hashem Al Pi Darko V'Tivo Shenolad Bo. In other words, not to force the child to change his nature, but to rechannel the nature of the child so that he directs it towards service of Hashem. Oh. So he says the following. That initially, the child, if he's left in, you know, to his teva, then he might observe the mitzvahs and serve Hashem out of pachad, out of fear. Chanoch lenar al pi darko derech mazol v'tivo kein techanchehu lasos mitzvos v'oz gam kishiyazkin lo yosur mimeno amokashe tafireu al mazolo ata yishmalecha miyirascha oscha. If you start changing the nature of the child, again, he may listen and obey you, but that's because he's so afraid of you. But achar kach, later on in life, when he matures and he becomes an adult, the yusar olcha me'al tzavi, you know, have the father no longer has control of him, so he doesn't fear the father, then yosur mimenu, he's going to drop all those guidance, all those rules of guidance. Ki efshalo l'shaber mazolo. Because he realizes that what his father was trying to do for him, of breaking his mazel, changing his nature, was impossible for him. So he's going to just drop the ball and give it up. Therefore, chanoch lenar al pi darko, don't change the mazel. Don't change the teva of the child. You're fighting to distort the child's essence. That you can't do. You might succeed on a level of fear, but that's not going to last for a long time. When the child becomes an adult, the fear doesn't mean anything to him. But rather, train the child, educate the child, encourage the child to serve Hashem al pi darko v'tivo, to take his derech, the child's teva, and channel it for avodas Hashem. And this is a basic rule in raising children in Chinuch Banim that's being formulated here by the Gaon in Mishlei. And the Gaon brings proofs from the Gemara that we studied at the end of Masechta Shabbos that a person can't change his Teva. For example, the Gemara says if a person was born on the Madim, which I think is Mars, then he should be a Shochet. In other words, he has a natural tendency to draw blood and he might become a murderer. So he should become a shochet. In other words, a person has to rechannel his mazel. For example, he could become a shochet if he's born with this shvichas. He could become a physician who bloodletter, and so forth and so on. And this leads us to page 4. So why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu change the mazel of Avram Avinu? This is a lesson in Chinuch. To change the mazel of Avram would mean for Avram to change his very nature, his very teva, his essence. That we can't do. That's not a realistic expectation, and we won't have any fruitful bearings. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, channel your teva from west towards the east. And west towards the east means to use your midos, even though they could be misused, but use them and channel them for the good. And that's the chizuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Avram Avinu. And here I want to take a look at the pasuk, Ani Betzedek Echsa Panecha, which you'll see in the middle, top in the middle column here. There are two minhagim that we can now begin to understand that are codified by the Torah based on the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Torah says in Or HaChaim Siman Tzadi Beis, Tov Litein Staka Kodama Tefila. And it's based on the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Yud, Rabbi Elazar, Yoev Pruta Lioni Mahadar Matzli. Rabbi Elazar, before he davened, he would give Staka Omar, and he declared the Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, Ani b'tzedek echse ponech. Now keep in mind that the mazel of Avraham Avinu is called tzedek. So Rashi says, Ani b'tzedek b'tchila. First, Ani b'tzedek. V'yachar kach echse ponech b'tfila. So tzedek or tztaka comes first, and then tfila. And therefore the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, Tov litein pruto liani kodem kol tfila. Some people do it before Shacharis, and some even before Mincha. I haven't seen too many people who do it before all three tefillos. But in any event, that's one minhag. The second minhag is to turn your face towards the Mizrach, the Makom HaMikdash. And that's exactly what the Torah brings down in Siman Sadidalet. Also the Rama quotes the Torah. Ubim Komo, Lispalel, Yachzer, Ponov, Lemizrach. Wherever his feet are situated, he should turn towards the east. And it all has to do with the fact that the east represents Eretz Yisrael. So we're looking towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Yerushalayim. But now we can explain these two minhagim based on our understanding of Avraham Avinu and his relationship to the Mazalos. We quote now a Gemara in Tainus, a story about Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos. He was a very poor person. He didn't have money to buy food. And he dreamt that he would be sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ask him, Rabbi Elazar, must I etztayr by Alma b'li Elazar b'ni Nichala li afche li alma mereisha efshar demesyalvis b'shaitav demezona amri l'kame lo be'ina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos two choices. He says, if you want, I can change the entire world and recreate the world, if that's what you want. If not, then you're going to have to live within the world that you have and face the challenges that you have. So Rabbi Elazar declines. He doesn't want to change the entire world. He doesn't want to end and terminate the existence of the world as we know it. However, it becomes clear from this story of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos that he, Rabbi Elazar, had the power through his tefillah of effectuating a change, of changing his mazel l'tova. Because the entire story here and the dialogue between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Rabbi Elazar was tefillah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he hears the tefillah of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos, asking Rabbi Elazar what he wants food because he doesn't have food, he's so poor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm willing to give it to you. Because you are mispalel, I'll grant it to you. However, you have to know what the price is. And Rabbi Elazar declined. He says, "Efshar al yedei tefila l'shanos es mazel l'tova." So Avraham Avinu's mazel is called tzedek. It stood in the west. He couldn't have children. He prayed to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what we saw at the beginning of our parsha. Avram turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says to him, "Let's just get the quote: Hey lo nasata li zora." And that's the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he relocates the mazel of Avraham from Mizrach over to Mairah. Ko yezaracha. They will also, ko, like you, have that same magical power, the koach hanifla, to change the mazel. They too will have the power of tefillah. And therefore, when we are mispalel towards the east, not only do we have in mind Yerushalayim, but we should have in mind this ability to be so dedicated to Hashem that Hashem promises that we can rise above the mazel. And now we can begin to understand the minhag of giving tzedakah before davening. Ani b'tzedek, David HaMelech says, echse panecha. When I want to see God, echse panecha, then ani b'tzedek, I do tztaka. First I give tztaka, and then echse panecha. Why? Because this tztaka somehow arouses through the mechanics of the Bali Kabbalah, will now energize the Mazel Tzedek, which was transformed from Tzedek of Marav to Tzedek of Mizrah. Ani bit Tzedek, with the Mazel of Tzedek, that I was ma'orer the Mazel of Tzedek through Tzedakah, by giving money to the Ani. Echse panecha, now I have the ability to be Mispalel, and through my Tefillah, I can now change Teva, just like we saw in the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, that through his Tefillah he could have changed the entire universe. So when you give tzedakah before tefillah, then what you're expressing is ani betzedek echsa panecha. When I see Hashem, when I get close to Hashem through tzedek, I'm asking that the mazel of tzedek be moved from the mairav to the mizrach. And now when we turn towards the mizrach, we say Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you relocated the mazel of Avraham Avinu from the Mazel of Tzedek from Mairov to Mizrach, so that Avraham Avinu would have the capacity to have children, to bear children and to give birth to Yitzchak, and from Yitzchak will come the entire nation of Israel. So we have now an unbelievable integration of two elements here, of Mitzvah Tzedakah before Tefillah, which is Ma'orah, the Mazel of Tzedek, plus the Tefillah itself, towards the Mizrach, when we turn towards the east, because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Mazel Tzedek of Avraham Avinu, and he will now fulfill, he with a capital H, will fulfill his promise to Avraham Avinu of Koyeh Zaracha, and that Koyeh Zaracha represents a change in Anhogas HaTeva, and all this is accomplished, or shall I say symbolically represented by A, the meaning of giving tzedakah before tefillah, and B, by tefillah litzad mizrach, by turning to the east. And finally, he quotes the Targum Yonasan on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and the pasuk says, "Ki bris bein avasarim." I'm sorry, the Targum Yonasan says on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, "Ki bris bein avasarim ha'isa b'hara moriah." The Mokom HaMikdash. Where was the Bris Bein? Where was it located? Where did it take place? It took place on the Har HaBayis. And there Avraham Avinu was Makriv Karbonos. He brought Karbonos Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you remember, during the Bris Bein of Asarim, that's why it got its name, he cuts the animals into two. And this is all part of the preparation for bringing them on the Mizbeach. That's how the Medrash has it, according to Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. He says, "Kichen mitam zeh on a mispalim l'tzad mizrach kenegin mokom ha-migdash." Remember, we said that you turn towards the east because that's Yerushalayim. That's where the Migdash is. Asher shama otzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Avinu mechalolo shalolo v'gbio me'al kochom mezos. Where was Avraham located, situated, when Hashem brought him outside and lifted him above the mazos? He was on the Makom, he was on the Har HaBayis at the Makom HaMikdash. And there, at that location, Shinas Mazolo meets Mazel Tzedek, Sha'amad b'marav v'hemido b'mizrach, and he reestablishes the Mazel of Avraham Avinu that stood in the west, in the east. And he says, "Kol yezarach, I promise you, now you will have zera." And therefore, our minhag, when we mispalel, we also want to change the mazel, and that's why we're so desperate to be mispalel. We too have to follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. We have to turn towards the mizrach. We have to give tzedakah, ani b'tzedakah etzei panecha. This is going to be ma'orer the mazel of tzedek, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Avraham of going above the confines and the dominion of the mazolos, and therefore the fulfillment of Ko Yeh Zara. That's the Hashkafa for today, based on the Shvilei Pinchas. And the bottom line is that we, through tefillah, have the ability. Again, if we remain within the control of the mazol, it's a bad situation. Then it's the offer. When we go down, we go all the way down to base bottom. But we have the ability to go above the stars, above the mazalos. If we're dovek in the Shekhinah, if we do Hashem's will, if we're dedicated to the study of Torah, if we can connect ourselves to the Aleph Tov of Torah, then we can take the Zos and convert the Zayin into Aleph Tov, into Zos, changing Teva as it were, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer all our tefillos, and it becomes Koye Zara. Pasuk says,
put it on. I'll see you later.
Pasuk says, Vatikach Sarai Eshes Avram Es Hogar Mitzvah Shivchosa Miketz Es Hashonim Leshevas Avram Beretz Kanaan Vatiteno Soli Avram Isha Lo Le Isha. So Sarai gives over Hogar her Shivcha to Avram Avinu, and Hogar now becomes like a second wife to Avram Avinu. And the Torah goes out of its way to say that this took place, this episode occurred 10 years after Avram had entered into the land of Israel. And based on this episode, the Mishnah in Yevamos says, Nasa isha v'shayima eser shanim v'lo yolda, that if a person is married for 10 years and he doesn't have any children, Eino Rashoi Levatel, Rashi says, O Yigrashena, he has two choices, either he divorces or marries another woman, or Yisa Isha Acheres Ima, if she agrees, then he marries a second wife. And that's the Mishnah Yevamos. The Braisa Yevamos says, Nasa Isha V'Shayima Eser Shon V'Lo Yolda, he says, Afalpi, he has to give her a ksuba, etc., etc., and find himself another wife. And Afalpi, the Mishnah says, She'eno, the Braisa, I should say, Eino raya l'dov, zeich l'dov, miketz eser shonim, our parasha, l'sheves avram, b'yaretz k'nan, l'lamdecha, she'en yeshivas, chutz l'aretz, ololo min aminyin. Why does the Torah go out of its way to say that this whole parasha of Hagar took place after 10 years when the 10 years passed since they left the land? Malamin she'en yeshivas chutzot olo min aminyan, that the 10 years does not include the period of time which they lived in chutzlaretz. So a very good eitzah now for a childless couple there would be, let's say they live in Canada, would be to come on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and now they start a brand new counting of 10 years. Rashi says miketzes hashanim ba'al hagar. It was only 10 years after they settled in the land that Avraham Avinu has a relationship with Hagar. V'haydlo nasiv la v'hanik shani kamoi. Here the Rashi has a kasha, very interesting, it's like a tosus almost, v'im tomar, Rashi says, but Avram and Sarai lived together for many, many years before they went on Aliyah l'Eretz Kanaan. Shohayu shom shonim merubos bepadnan Avram is l'amdecha she'en yeshivas chutzarts ololo min aminyan, that for some reason, and Rashi is about to give us a possible reason, the years that he lived in Chutz Laretz and they were childless as a couple, those don't count as long as he goes to Eretz Yisrael. Dilma, because perhaps Mishun Avon Chutz Laretz Heim Akurim, because of the sin of living in Chutz Laretz, they are Akurim. Now this halacha that a man has to divorce his wife after 10 years is one of those halachos that knows more exceptions to the rule than the rule itself. One exception is when they go on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, they could start the counting anew. Another exception, the Gemara formulates there in Masechet Yevamos, is Chala Hu O Shechol Sahi O Shneim Chavushim Beis Asurim Enam Olam Lo Min Aminyan. That there are certain periods of time in the life of a married couple where they don't have the ability to have children. And those years, those periods of time should not be calculated into the 10. For example, Chol Ahu, Chol Sahi. And all this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. The Aruch HaShulchan there says the following, Yesha Pirshu Dechol Sheyesh Lo Vlad Acher Chai Ein kofin oso legarsha da yolda. If she had a child from a different marriage, and that child is alive, then we're not going to force him to divorce her, because it's not her fault. Umasnisim velo yolda ktoni. The Mishnah mentions velo yolda to tell you that this halacha of the obligation of the husband to divorce his wife is contingent on the fact of lo yolda. Ela sheyesh mefarshim achim, there are those who disagree. Tahai velo yolda, when the Mishnah says lo yolda, right, it says nasa isha v'sha ima eser shanav lo yolda, aresha demasnisin demitzis piri verivya azochar nekevakoi. In other words, this comment of lo yolda is going back to the previous part of the Mishnah, which tells us and formulates the mitzvah period of a rivia as zachar unakeva. In other words, that they have to have a boy and a girl. In Kain Kosholo Yolda zachar unakeva, when does the Mishnah formulate the obligation to divorce your wife if 10 years went by and they didn't have both a zachar and a keva? And that's what Asher Yolda is telling you. Is Eina Rashoy Levatel, he has to get himself another wife, and the reason for that is because he was not able to fulfill period of arivia unless he has a zocher nekeva. That's asher lo yolda. In any event, I just wanted to introduce this topic. I don't know if and when we'll get a chance to study it, but I found a lot of fascinating makoros here as to, you know, when and how we can be makil, and you and I know many couples that remain married, and then they don't run to fulfill the dictum of the Mishnah, which is codified in Eben Ezer, to divorce their wives, and they find any number of different loopholes to explain why this is so. And it seems that, and this is what I wanted to try to get my head wrapped around, this concept that the halacha itself is built in a way that we want to be makil. We don't want to break up a marriage. So we try to find every single kula that's possible. The Rosh in Yevamos points out that if we accept Rashi's interpretation, that when it says in the Braisa, Ein Yeshivas Chutzlaretz Olam, and Minyan says Rashi, because Avon Chutzlaretz, it's a punishment for the sin of Chutzlaretz, says the Rosh, Yesh Lomar, the high din of the Shayimah Eser Shadir and Noeg, ain't no Noeg b'chutzaretz. There is no requirement to divorce your wife in Chutzlaretz. Why the Talina be onesh diras Chutzlaretz? That basically, it's not that this is a childless situation. They really could have children, just that they're suffering the punishment for living in Chutzlaretz, and that's what it means in the case of Avraham Avinu, that Yeshivas Chutzlaretz or Ololo Min Aminyan. The Rosh himself rejects this approach, and he uses very strong language, Lo Mestaber Klal Lahoros Kein, Sheivatel Odomi Piri Verivya, Bisvara Re'ua Zu. And he says that most people, even though they're living in Chutzlaretz, they have very large families. We see that the punishment of living in Chutzlaretz is not so it's not so common that would be the siva, that would be the cause for there being a childless couple. But that shita that we mentioned before, that if she had a child even from a different marriage and that child is alive, then the law of Eser Shanim doesn't apply. That's the Ritva, and the Ritva writes, Im hayulo bonim umesu mona mishasha mesu. The Yesha Pirshu says the Ritva shekol she yolda valad echad shehu chai ein kofen oso legarish toha v'lo yolda lo ktan. The Mishnah says that she didn't give birth at all. But acherim pirshu kol she yolda lo zocher nekevakai, that she has to take his zera and have both a boy and a girl. But in any event, as I said before, we have our lach of tliya here. In other words, we look for ways of pointing to various causes and reasons why this couple is childless. And taima de milsa, The Aruch HaShulchan that we mentioned earlier in Siman Kuf Nun Dalin tries to give an explanation. The Talina b'chol Eila Chashos Levatel Mitzvus Piri of Rivia. The B'emes Chumra Gedolahi. This is an unbelievably harsh and stringent demand. Masheitilu Chachomim Olav Legarsha. The B'chol HaMitzvus Ein Adu B'chuyiv Lasos Yeser Mitzivri HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, all you can ask of man is to fulfill, to do the best job that he possibly can to fulfill the mandate of God. And that's exactly what he did. We have no reason to suspect that she's a barren woman incapable of having children. She's not an islandess. What could you demand on him of him beyond that? God has a cheshbon why he can't have children. But here's the paradox. On the other side of the equation, we have the tremendous mitzvah piri rivya that's incumbent upon this husband. Is he tilu chachamim olav linasos this atzmo beisha cheres ulai yibona mimena? And it's because of the severity, the strict and heavy nature of this mitzvah period. Rivi the Chazal said that he has to marry another woman, and maybe he'll be able to have children from this other woman. Lefichach higbilu zman zeh asara shanim v'gamim yesh lo eizah ila shenucha litlots ba heder haolada talinan af be'ela kolshu. No matter what the fig leaf is, whatever possible, even a weak explanation or justification to explain why they're not having children, we're going to be tola, because this is a chumri yisera that is generated by the chomer, the severity and the significance of mitzvahs piri v'rivya. But on the other hand, to say that a man who did everything that he possibly could to marry a woman, to have relations, to try to have children, and he didn't succeed, he wasn't in any way misrashel from the Din Torah, from the Mitzvah Torah, why should we impose on him such a harsh punishment and say he's got to divorce his wife? And therefore we will not exercise this halacha and this requirement except for a few very far-flung scenarios, situations in which it's absolutely clear that the halachic ruling of the Mishnah and the Braisa should apply. Okay, then we'll stop here.